There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Florida's western coast braces for impact by Hurricane Ian, sending residents scrambling.
Everyone's trying to prepare and then get to higher ground before the storm hits. There's a lot of uncertainty as to where exactly the storm's going to hit, but everyone is pretty keyed in that something big is coming.
And a sedition trial begins for leaders of the Oath Keepers tied to the Capitol riot. Plus, why starting school later could help teens' mental health. It's Tuesday, September 27th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The jury trial began for five members of the Oath Keepers militia today who are being charged with seditious conspiracy for their alleged role in the January 6th Capitol riot. It's the most serious charge yet in the investigation of the Capitol breach. Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes and four co-defendants are accused of plotting to use force to block Congress from formally certifying President Biden's election victory. In court filings, the defendants have said they used bombastic language but did not have a real plan for any violence. Legal Affairs reporter Jan Wolf says the trial will be a key test for prosecutors.
The Justice Department has had a lot of success so far in jury trials stemming from January 6th. It's won 9 and lost 0. That's just talking about jury trials. But this is a challenging case because the prosecutors will have to show a common scheme, a common understanding, a meeting of the minds, if you will, an action taken in furtherance of that. So if defense lawyers can introduce a reasonable doubt in minds of jurors that there was actually concrete plans to conspire to use force on January 6th, that's enough to avoid a conviction. So defense lawyers in a case like this will typically say there was no real call to action. There was just talk. It might have been scary talk, but it wasn't serious. And so that's what prosecutors will have to compete against.
The House Select Committee investigating the attack on the Capitol has postponed its next hearing, originally slated for tomorrow due to Hurricane Ian. We'll have more on the storm in just a few minutes. European authorities are investigating mysterious leaks in the Nord Stream pipelines that deliver natural gas from Russia to Germany. The Nord Stream and Nord Stream 2 pipelines are currently closed, so the leaks discovered on Monday won't impact Europe's gas supply. But they are raising concerns about the safety of the pipelines, which are at the center of an escalating economic war between Moscow and the West that has pushed gas prices to record highs. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said in a news conference today that initial unconfirmed reports indicate the leaks may be the result of an attack or sabotage. American Airlines and JetBlue are defending their partnership in a federal antitrust trial that got underway today. The airlines formed a Northeast Alliance in 2020, making them partners at three New York area airports and in Boston. They agreed to sell seats on one another's flights on certain routes, coordinate schedules, and share revenue. The Justice Department says that before they decided to join forces, the two airlines had planned to compete at those hubs and that the partnership would therefore hurt competition and lead to higher fares. The airlines say that hasn't been the case a year and a half into their partnership. Home prices rose at a slower pace in July as buyer demand fell due to higher mortgage rates. Prices rose nearly 16%, down from 18% annual growth in the prior month, according to the Case-Shiller Home Price Index. It was the index's first month-over-month decline since January of 2019. Economists are expecting home price growth to slow significantly by the end of the year, but prices continue to show large gains from a year ago. Coming up, Hurricane Ian's path has moved to the south, but Tampa Bay and other parts of West Florida are still at risk. We'll have more on how the state has been preparing after the break.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hurricane Ian made landfall in western Cuba early this morning as a Category 3 storm and is now heading towards southwest Florida, including the Tampa Bay area. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has declared a state of emergency, and residents in at-risk coastal areas have been ordered to evacuate. The National Hurricane Center says the storm's track has shifted. At this point, Tampa is unlikely to see a direct hit, but still remains at risk. Joining me now with more on how the city has been preparing and what could be in store is Wall Street Journal reporter Cameron McWhorter. Hi, Cameron. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So, Cameron, you've been speaking with residents and business owners who are preparing for this storm. What can you tell us about how they're getting ready right now?
Mandatory evacuation orders have been issued along the coast on the Gulf side of Florida from Tampa Bay south, and businesses are boarding up. I spoke to businesses that were trying to secure furniture and board up their windows if they could. Everyone's trying to prepare and then get to higher ground before the storm hits. There's a lot of uncertainty as to where exactly the storm's going to hit, but everyone is pretty keyed in that something big is coming.
Tampa hasn't been in a situation like this in decades. How has that influenced how the city has been developed over the years?
Well, like much of Florida, and perhaps leading much of Florida, the Tampa Bay area has been booming. The metro area is about 3.2 million people. You have people moving from all over the United States, lots of development along the coast. The area is low-lying. It is, by its definition, a bay. So lots of water, lots of potential flooding. The area has had a lot of rain in the last 2 months, so the ground is fairly saturated. So heavy amounts of rain could be a real problem. I was speaking to an architecture professor earlier today about that. It's a real danger that you're going to see severe flooding throughout the area.
Is Tampa considered more vulnerable to a storm like this than other parts of the state?
I think the density of population, the geography of the area, and the fact that there hasn't really experienced a major storm like other areas of the state all combined mean that it's a pretty anxious time in the Tampa Bay area because people don't know exactly how resilient the area is going to be. You know, certainly a lot of the newer homes, the wealthier homes are on the coast, so they have been built to newer specifications, so they should be more resilient. We'll have to see. But a lot of the older homes, which actually ironically are on higher ground, are owned by poorer people, and they were built before those specifications. So if there's heavy winds, they could shatter windows, blow roofs off, rain gets in, and the homes are destroyed. So there's a lot of concern that depending on where this hits, but how much rain comes down, how much flooding hits, that you could be looking at a lot of homes destroyed.
Ian is on track to hit parts of the state that normally don't experience storms of this magnitude. What could that mean for insurance coverage for damages?
Well, Florida in general has seen a massive skyrocketing in the cost of flood insurance. As these storms hitting the coast of the United States have become more severe, and certainly everyone is seeing these rate increases. There are some people who have tried to avoid paying these increases. It's been a real dilemma. If this storm hits and does a lot of damage, the whole system is going to be tested by a significant storm because everyone is going to be filing claims and we're all going to have to see how it shakes out. But there's no doubt that if the storm hits this populated area in a significant way, we're talking about billions of dollars.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Cameron McWhorter. Cameron, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And finally, a growing number of scientists say one way to help high school students deal with stress could be pretty simple. Start their school day later. Here's why. Teenagers have a biological need to go to bed late and sleep in. Hormones change their circadian rhythm. Recent studies show that students who attend schools with later start times are more likely to get sufficient sleep. And our personal health reporter Alex Janin says that teens who don't get enough sleep are at heightened risk for other issues as well.
So the pandemic really exacerbated what some psychologists have called a teen or adolescent mental health crisis. And researchers and sleep scientists say that sleep is a major risk factor. And shorter sleep makes it hard to regulate emotions. And during the adolescent time period, these emotions are already going through pretty intense fluctuations. So when kids show up to school on what is basically a constant state of sleep deprivation, they're having more trouble regulating the mood that is already difficult for them to regulate.
Some schools are trying to combat this. Even moving the day from 8 o'clock to 8:30 seems to help. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.